farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand. Till death said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the
wonderful song, wonderfully sung. If you would please grab your hymnals and stand with me one more time. We'll turn to 155. I hope this is your prayer, your heart's desire for the service this morning, that the Lord would have his way in our hearts and lives. 155, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Let's sing it all together. 155, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I
sing out that fourth verse.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall be Christ only, always living in me.
Thank you for singing so well. You may be seated.
It's a sanctuary, a place of strength and calm, a haven from the storms of life when all hope seems gone. It's a tabernacle, a place that stays the same, though life may change. I need the church. I need the church. The special place where God meets with his children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits fed. We need the church. We need the church. So many memories of great things God has done, when saints came in and praised the Lord for all the victories won. A place of safety, the bond of love that's there can be explained. I need the church. I need the church. The special place where God meets with his children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits fed. We need the church. We need the church. The special place where God meets with his children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits fed. We need the church. We need the church. I need the church. I need the church.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the church today?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, and when you find that, if you would stand to your feet as you're able. Luke chapter 16, and when you find that, if you're able to stand, if not, you can remain seated if you cannot. I meant to mention earlier, but I think you can barely see me if you happen to be watching online there, so sorry about that. And you can catch me between the vines, however that goes. Great. I think I'm there, not there is what I heard. All right, anyway, it is what it is.
But in Luke chapter 16, last week I preached on the subject of heaven, and to be honest, I tried everything to talk the Lord out of the message today, and the Lord won, and I lost with that. But a fun theme with VBS, but really the subject today is a serious matter, really not any joking or stories when it comes to that, but we're going to look at this passage from Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 19. As you see this passage here, this account, not a parable, but a story that God tells us from the Word of God. In Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19, it says, "There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to give you a few thoughts this morning on the subject about lies about hell. Lies about hell. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get our hearts and our minds on the Word of God this morning. Holy Spirit, would you grab our attention today on what a serious subject this is? Not a funny subject, but very real. There's many lies that the devil is trying to tell in society, and the lies are sending people to hell. Lies about religion, about works, about Jesus. Lord, may we look at your word today, and may your truth from your word be brought forth and speak to our hearts. And God, I pray if there's any one person here today that is on their way to hell, that I pray they would trust in you alone as their Savior. I pray for those that are saved today that we would be serious about the subject of eternity, and that we'd pray and witness for the lost. And Lord, you do a work today that only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Last week we talked about the subject of heaven. Heaven. And what a great subject that is. Heaven is real. We talked about this place of promise, that God promised that he would go and prepare a place for us, a prepared place that God has for us. It's a place of peace that God has, where there's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no death. It's a place of peace. It's protected from all the harm and the evil that is down here in this earth, and it's a place of protection. For those that are saved, I'm thankful for eternal life, aren't you? Aren't you thankful for salvation, that when God gives you salvation, he will never take it away? The eternal security of a soul, that you know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. It's not a confidence in myself, but it's a confidence in him that you have eternal life. And the hope of heaven is a great thought for those that are saved, isn't it? What a wonderful thought for those that are saved here, but also a wonderful thought for those that have gone on to heaven. And what a wonderful place there is to look forward to. And we could go on this morning. We talked about it last week already about heaven. But as wonderful of a place as heaven, on the other side is as terrible of a place called hell. Many people will try to joke about hell, using it as a curse word, or maybe joking about it as a place of fun or a place where you'll get to hang out with your buddies, and maybe try to re-explain hell out of the Bible. I don't know how you can re-explain hell out of the Bible when it's so clearly stated. And as we look at this passage today, to be honest, one of my least favorite passages, because you get a clear account from hell. It's not a parable. In a parable, you would not see the names of people or places, but they're general terms of a certain man or a certain woman went to a certain place. This has very clear names and places given here about Lazarus and Abraham's bosom. It's an account given from hell. Hell's a real place. And people go there every day. As Christians, we say we believe in heaven. We believe in eternity. We believe in hell. But do we live in that manner that we believe eternity is real? There's some lies the devil's trying to tell about hell that he's been telling for centuries that I believe he's still telling today. I don't know if this message is for one person, for everyone, whatever the case is. I pray that God would speak to our hearts. But understand this, that God always tells us the truth. I'd rather have truth hit me in the face than have a nice lie given to me that someone is trying to smooth things over. But God tells the truth about eternity and about heaven and hell. And I want to give you 4 points this morning about lies about hell. The first lie about hell is this. First of all, is that the devil tells that hell isn't real. Hell isn't real. It's a fake place. It's made up. It's a story. You can try to re-explain it in some way. Or some would think that maybe hell is just a state of mind. That hell is just something that you think of. And some people would say that hell is even on earth. But hell is not fictional. It's not made up. It's real. As we look at this passage, we get some very real, specific accounts and descriptions about what hell is, and that hell is not real. I'm sorry, that hell is not fake, but hell is real. In verse number 23, after this rich man and Lazarus, after they had died, both of them, and the rich man, he had everything in this life, everything he wanted. He fared sumptuously every day. He had everything that this life had to offer, but he left this life without the most important thing that he needed, and that was without Jesus Christ. He had everything this world had to offer. And then this man named Lazarus, that he was a beggar, and that he would even just get the crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. He had nothing in this life. He had nothing. He would be that poor person, the beggar that you'd see walk in the streets, and you would just pity them as you walked by them. And you'd look at this rich man and think, man, he has it so good. But in eternity, that all switched. That all changed. The man that had everything in this life went to hell. Not because he was rich, not because he had possessions, but because he was not saved. Because his sins were not forgiven. And he went to this place in hell. And the man named Lazarus, the beggar, he went to Abraham's bosom, went to heaven. One of them was comforted, one was tormented. One was comforted, one was tormented. They'd like to say that hell is not real, but I want to direct your attention to verse number 3. Very, very clear, very real that they each died, and one was carried to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died also in verse number 22. But in verse 23 it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. First of all, we see some descriptions from hell is that he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He knew where he was. He knew what he saw. He knew where to look at that time. He was very aware of his surroundings. He wasn't lost in some kind of abyss or a place of darkness or some fictional place, but it was a very real place. And he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He looked around in verse number 24. Not once he looked around in verse 24, he cried out. People in hell are still crying out today. There's no comfort in hell. We'll get there in a little bit, but he cried out and he said, Abraham, Abraham. He cried out. He was begging for help. He was begging for mercy. And what he begged for was just a drop of water to cool his tongue. I don't know about you, but if you're tormented in flames, a drop of water is going to do nothing. It would cool your tongue for a moment of a second, and it would go away. But even momentary relief from that torment would have helped the suffering he was going through. He cried out. He spoke from hell. He not only looked around, but he cried out, and he spoke to Abraham. And in verse number 24, he looked to Abraham and said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He said that person that begged at my table, how did he know that Lazarus was going to be in heaven? How did he know that he would be there? Maybe Lazarus tried to witness to him. Maybe he tried to tell him about Jesus Christ. I don't know how he knew that, but he said, could you send Lazarus, the beggar, the one that came to my table, and would you give him a drop of water to cool my tongue? And he suffered physical pain from this thirst that he had. In verse number 25, and Abraham said, son, remember. I think one of the worst things in eternity in hell would be remembering. You'd think if I had no memory, if I had no thoughts, if I had no feelings, if it was just emptiness for all eternity, I could handle that. But there's remembering of every day. Maybe someone giving him the gospel, God working on his heart, rejecting Jesus Christ. He said, remember, he says this, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Again, not because of their physical conditions on this earth, but because of their spiritual condition, that one was lost and one was saved. And he remembered. He remembered this life. He knew what was going on. It was not a place where he did not know what was happening. He knew exactly what was happening in hell. And Satan would love to tell you that hell's not real, but if you go there, it's just a place of nothingness and emptiness for eternity. But I tell you this today, that hell is real. I'd love to tell you it wasn't. I'd love to come and preach to you today and say that no one goes there. It's not real. It's fake. It's made up. But God tells us something different. I'd rather have the truth going into eternity and have a choice to accept Jesus Christ than to be comforted in this life and everyone tell you all the good things you need to hear and then go into eternity and think, you never told me? You never warned me? Hell's a real place. Some people would say that earth is a place of hell, but there is nothing in this life that compares to a reality of hell for all eternity. Hell is a real place, but also another lie that Satan would tell. He would say that hell isn't real. He'd also say this, that hell is not a permanent place. But if you look down at verse number 26, and it says, after he asked to be comforted with just a drop of water, in verse 26, and he said, and beside all this, even if I could give you a drop of water, even if I could help you, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That there's very clear separation between hell and heaven. It's a fixed place. There's a separation there from God, from hell, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. Even if we could come from heaven, he said, we can't. And even if some would want to come from hell, they couldn't make it here. You'd want to think it's not a permanent place, but that's not what God says. God's word tells us it's a great gulf fixed. Death, there's something very permanent about death. Something permanent about death. When someone passes away, there's something permanent about someone being buried and someone leaving this life and their body has stopped working and their brain and their heart and function stop. They stop working and they pass from life to death. And it happens in a moment. But the Bible says this, for those that don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that don't receive that everlasting life, on the other side there's everlasting destruction. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. How wonderful it is to have everlasting life and to know that you'll be in heaven with God for all eternity. What a wonderful thought that would be. But on the other side, there is eternal and everlasting destruction. Both of them are forever. Could you imagine getting a life sentence and going to jail, going to prison, and knowing that you would never get out and see freedom, see your family, and never getting out again? And to be locked behind bars, knowing that's going to be the rest of your life. You would know this, though. Someday, that punishment will end. Someday will be that last day. Well, either you will pass from life to death, and you'll leave, and that punishment will end. Or by chance, you get released somehow, and you have hope at the end of that punishment. But with hell, there is no hope at the end of that punishment. Eternity is forever. And the eternal destruction of hell lasts forever. Why would a loving God send people to hell? Why would a loving God create that place? Well, hell was created for the devil and the fallen angels. And the devil, from the moment that he was cast out of heaven, forever has been trying to lie to mankind to try to get everyone to come the same place where he's going. Adam and Eve in the garden, what did they do? That they were given one rule: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I should have put some fruit up in the trees, maybe. And what happened? That God said, don't eat of the tree, and the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely, what? Die. And then that wicked serpent, Satan, came, and he said, you will not surely die. What is God talking about? What does God really know? To speak into Eve, what does Adam really know about eternity? And what does he really know about God and life and all these things? And Satan has been lying to mankind since the very beginning. He's been lying to mankind. Hell's not forever. It's just for a period of time. You say, well, I know religions that try to say that you can maybe work your way out of hell. Well, you know what? That is a false, wicked belief. To try to get people to do some good works, or to try to get someone's money to pay your loved one out of hell or out of purgatory, which is not a real place, to go to heaven. What a wicked belief. There's been more people sent to hell by false religion and good works than any other thing in this life. People that are following false religions and in their sincerity are on their way to hell. Hell is a permanent place. It's not temporary. The Bible says in Matthew 25, it says, and he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can you imagine being in hell for thousands of years and realizing it'll never end? It'll never end. It'll never end. It'll never end. And it's permanent and it's forever. Some lies about hell. First, that Satan will tell you that hell isn't real. Secondly, Satan will tell you that hell is not a permanent place. It's just temporary. It's a period of time. You can work your way out of there. That God will give you another chance. But you had your chance in this life. And that rich man had his opportunity here. And he rejected Jesus Christ. Satan would love to tell you this, that hell is going to be a fun place. How many people have you heard that have bought that lie or been told that lie, that, you know, I'm going to go party with my friends. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be drinking and playing cards. You've heard that story before, I'm sure. But I can tell you and assure you of this, it's not a fun place. If it was a fun place, if it was a good place, then why did that rich man say, someone tell my brothers not to come here? If you would want to be with anyone, you'd want to be with your family. But he said, tell my brothers, don't come here. Listen to the gospel. Listen to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. And they said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. And they said, though one rose from the dead, they would not believe. It's not a fun place. It's not a party place. It's not a place to chance your life for eternity in a place called hell. It's a permanent place, and it's not a fun place. If you notice in verse number 23, it says, and he lifted up his eyes, being in what? Torments. In verse number 24, as you look down the end of the verse, it says, from the rich man, he says, for I am tormented in this flame. In verse number 25, it says at the end of the verse, but he is comforted and thou art tormented. Could you imagine the torments of a lake of fire forever? You get burned by a fire and your first reaction is to pull your hand away, run out, get away as quick as you can. That burning sensation is very real and is very strong. And the Bible says the lake of fire for all eternity. It's a place of torments. A torment is a torture. To be tortured, to be punished for your sins for all eternity. You say, why would God do that? God sent his only begotten Son to die for the sins of mankind. Jesus, that knew no sin, became sin for us. The love of God that he would send his Son to die for us that have no hope of heaven but by Jesus Christ. And he came to this life and he died to pay for your sins and mine. And if you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you choose on your own will to go to hell. You choose to reject heaven. I don't know anyone in their right mind that would choose hell over heaven. But if you reject Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you're doing. Hell is a place of torments. The Bible calls it a lake of fire. We won't go through all the verses today. It's a lake of fire. It's a bottomless pit. The Bible says a place where the worm dieth not. A place where the fire is not quenched. It never goes out. It's a place of outer darkness. How can you have darkness in a flame of fire when the flame is so hot it becomes so dark and you can't see where you are even? The Bible says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. If it was a great place to be, then why would he want his brothers to not go there? Why would he beg Abraham and say, would you send somebody back home to tell them? And he said, they've got the word of God. They've got Moses and the prophets. And if they reject them, they wouldn't be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Hell is not a fun place to be. In the book of Revelation, verse 20, it says this, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I can tell you this, according to the word of God, I tell you the truth out of love, not trying to hurt you or harm you, but by the love of God, and I believe out of the love of trying to preach this message, that God does not want you to go there. God sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins and mine. He loves you so much that he paid the only payment that could be paid for your sin. And if it was a fun place, then why would he have his own Son come and die a brutal and a cruel death for you and me? He did that because he loves you. And God, the grace of God has appeared to all men. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want a single person to go there, but we have a free will. You and I have a choice to accept or reject Jesus Christ. Hell is not a fun place. Lastly today, some lies about hell. Number one was this, that hell isn't real. The lie that hell isn't real. The lie that hell is not a permanent place. The lie that hell is going to be a fun place to go to, a place of fun and partying where you can play in your sin. And then lastly today is this, the lie of the devil is this, that hell is just for the really bad people. It's just for the really bad people. It's just for the people that have done the really bad things, but I've not done the really bad things, so I don't deserve to go there. Do you know that God doesn't say only the really bad people deserve hell? You know that the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us are sinners, and we all deserve the same punishment and the same place in hell. That's what we all deserve, but that's not what you have to have today. That's not what anyone has to have. You never have to experience that for a second, or for a moment of time. Hell is not just for the really bad people. Hell is for all sinners. For the wages of sin is death. There is a punishment that must be paid for our sin. Just as in this life, if you break the laws, you deserve a punishment. Well, in eternity, the same thing, a perfect God and the perfect Word of God. And He looks at us and He says, have you been forgiven? Are your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? Not by your works, not by your religion, but by Jesus Christ. And God says, by my Son, I sent Him to die for you. And if you reject Him, then God must reject you. Hell is not just for the really bad people. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know about you, but everyone falls into that category of liars. The first one on the list is fearful. People that are too fearful to get saved, too fearful to raise your hand or accept Jesus Christ, said, I'm not ready, I'll do it another time. The fearful, the Bible says, and the unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. In Matthew chapter 7, a couple of the saddest verses you find in the Word of God. In Matthew 7, it says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people that said, have we not cast out devils? Have we not done good things in your name? And he'll say, I never knew you. No one's going to get to heaven by being a good person. The devil wants to tell you if your good outweighs your bad, you're going to heaven. That's not in the Bible. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we're sinners, we cannot make it to heaven on our own. Hell is not just for the really bad people. Hell is for all sinners. Hell is for all sin that is not forgiven. And Jesus Christ in that day, for those that say, God, I went to church. My parents taught in the Sunday school. I worked on a bus route. I grew up in a Christian home. I taught your word. I even told other people about Jesus Christ. And God will look at you and he knows your heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. He'll look at your heart and see if it's forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, that he died to pay for your sins. And at one moment, you accepted him by faith in your heart. And if you've never done that, he'll look at you and say, all the works that you did, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Is your salvation testimony strong enough to say that you know that you're going to heaven? The Bible said he wants you to know that you have eternal life and believe on the name of the Son of God. Could you bet your life on it? Could you chance your eternity on knowing you're going to heaven based on the Word of God? In Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This world, by the multitudes and the masses, are going away from Jesus Christ. They're following false religions and false Bibles, their own works, setting themselves up as gods, saying, I can get to heaven my own way. But no one will get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not a single person will get to heaven by saying, well, I'm a good person. Well, I went to church as a kid. I sat on the front row. I sang in the choir. Well, my dad was a pastor or a deacon. No one's getting to heaven that way. We're all deserving of eternity in a place called hell. I want to give you a few thoughts as we finish this morning. Heaven is for forgiven sinners. Hell is for unforgiven sinners. Get this. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, right? Amen. We've all done wrong. But heaven is for those that have been forgiven of their sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And hell is for those that have not been forgiven of their sin. Hell is for those that accept Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, heaven is for those that accept Jesus Christ. And hell is for those that reject Jesus Christ. Heaven is for those that admit they need help for their salvation through Jesus alone. Hell is for those that can do it their own way. Heaven is for saved people. Hell is for unsaved people. We are all deserving of hell, but God in His mercy sent His only begotten Son to pay the punishment for our sin so you could have eternal life in heaven. Can I tell you this, that everyone is able to receive the gift of salvation. There's not a single person, think about this, there's not a single person that's walked on the face of this earth that God would not forgive their sin. There's not a single person that if they ask God for forgiveness and say, forgive my sin, take me to heaven, I trust in Jesus alone, there's not a single person that God would say, no, I will not forgive you. I will not accept you. And you think of all the bad people and all the bad things that you could see or hear out there, there's no one that cannot receive the mercy and grace of God. Let me ask you this. Where are you going when you die? Can you base your eternity on the Word of God with confidence that you know you have eternal life based on the Bible, not on experience, not on someone else's testimony, not by a relationship to someone else, but through Jesus Christ alone? You can go back and say, I remember the day, the time I realized I was a sinner, that I deserve punishment of a place called hell, but that Jesus died to pay for my sins, and by faith I asked Him to come to my heart. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone, anytime, anywhere, every place that God will save sinners. Are you 100% sure today? If you're 99% sure, do you want a chance that 1% on hell? I think of that passage where Paul was preaching to King Agrippa, and he preached to him the gospel in Jesus Christ, and King Agrippa made one of the saddest statements you see in the Bible, where Agrippa said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I wonder how many people are in hell today that almost walked the aisle. Almost raised their hand to get saved. Almost was willing to go through the prayer of salvation. Almost ready to get saved, but rejected Jesus Christ all the way to the end. Please don't be that person today. I beg you. If there's a doubt, if there's a question, it doesn't matter your position, your standing, how long you've come to church, what family you're in. Don't chance your eternity on a hope so salvation. Do you know you're saved today based on the Word of God? The devil will tell you this, well, I'll take care of it someday. Someday I'll take care of it. You know, not today, but maybe tomorrow, maybe another day. You don't know if you have another day. You have no guarantee of tomorrow or the next moment except Christ right now. The Bible says, behold, now is a time of salvation. Today is the day to get saved. If God speaks into your heart, it may be your last chance. I'm not trying to scare you today, but if hell doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. Some people will say, well, I'll tell my loved ones someday. I'll tell them about Jesus Christ someday. Well, why not today? What if they don't get another chance? Tell them today. God may not give you another chance. He might. In God's mercy, He may give you another chance, but maybe today is the day. With head bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around. A very serious moment for an invitation time to respond to the Word of God. Again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but if there's a question, if there's a doubt in your mind, please get it settled today. I'm not trying to embarrass you whatsoever, but we're going to have an invitation time in a moment here, and if you don't know that you're 100% sure, saved and on your way to heaven, the devil's lied to you and you're maybe holding on to a false hope of salvation, maybe you don't even remember getting saved. Maybe you never did and you just keep thinking someday, well, today. Let's have today be that day. What a great day that would be. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. With no one looking around between you and God, if you say there's even a doubt in my mind that I would go to heaven, if there's even a doubt, if there's even a question in your mind, again, I'm not trying to get you to doubt it. We have the assurance of eternal life if you know you're saved. But if there's a doubt in your mind, would you slip your hand up right now, please? No one's looking. I don't want to embarrass you, but hell is real. We're not guaranteed another moment. Would you slip your hand up real quick and put it down? Is there one in this room this morning? I don't believe that God had me preach this message because everyone's saved. I would like to believe that, but please don't go home today lost. Please don't reject Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to know that you're going to heaven. Why not today? One more opportunity, if you would. And you can get saved anytime, any place, anywhere, but respond now. Don't tell God no. Is there one here today that say, I don't know that for sure? There's a doubt, there's a question, there's a wonder, there's a worry. Would you put your hand up real quick? I would not call you out. I would not embarrass you. Would you slip your hand up real quick and put it down?